I'm going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you. This is the day that you've made. Holy Spirit, we love you. We honor you. We just thank you. You're the one that makes it all happen. You're the one that reveals Jesus to us. You're the one that reveals the Father to us through Jesus. We just thank you. We thank you for today. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your river. We thank you, Lord God, for sons of Issachar having a level of understanding of the seasons. We just thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. If we can put that last screen up, please. Okay, so what we don't usually, we're well known for not doing offering talks. Not that that's a great thing, it's just the grace. But we are going to be reaching into the nations this year significantly. Wouldn't it be great to launch into the nations when there was no trouble in the nations? Wouldn't that be good? It doesn't work that way, does it? As soon as you decide to launch at the nations launch at you. So this is actually, I encourage people to prayerfully consider sowing into this. Goes to the expenses of the crusades this year. And so basically we're then also going to another really, really Bible Belt orientated place called Mexico City. So appreciate everyone's prayers, but also to sow into it as well if you feel the Lord leading you to do that. Later in the year, we've planned. Many plans are in the man's heart, but the Lord's counsel, that will stand. So August, we're looking at taking team to Argentina. I've been on the phone about that today. And also to Kenya. Now, next year, we're looking at going more into Asia, more local stuff. There'll be a time where we can actually also to take people or take teams into that very, very dark and uncharted country called New Zealand. So there'll be a time for that. People go, oh, I want that one. Okay, so it just depends how they govern their economy and everything at the moment. There's a lot going on there. So if I'm going to just, this is the last, I'll probably promote it for a while. But at the moment, we've been talking about heavenly governance. And heavenly governance, God said to Solomon, tell me, what do you want? And Solomon didn't ask for the life of his enemies or long life or untold riches. He asked for an understanding heart so he could judge God's people. And by extension, to judge God's people means to govern. And God was so pleased with that. He said, this is exactly what I have in mind for this earth. He said that you co-rule with me. That obviously, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God said, you're going to have the life of your enemies. You're actually going to live live long and prosper. And you're going to, we're talking like God will bless him financially. So what we have is that's a model for governance. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and all these things. But governing involves justice. And justice, I believe, I'm Generation X. I'm not a millennial, definitely not. I'm not a boomer, definitely not. But my generation has had been given the opportunity to be lukewarm. And sort of, God, Jesus, the church, But the generation coming up now is being sacrificed, on behalf of others. The stuff they're being taught in school is satanic. And so there's something about, we're talking awful stuff. And terrorizing with all this climate gear. And remember, I've just come back from Indonesia, and they don't talk about that in Indonesia. And there's a lazy, nearly 300 million people there. Okay? And so really, it's what we do in Australia is like a sneeze in a hurricane. Like the way I clean that one up. And so basically, is that there's a generation, if you've got kids or grandkids, they've been brought up into this doctrine of demons. And so I believe God's on the harvest and the transformation of Gen Z. Isn't it interesting, Z or Z, however you want to pronounce it, depends whether you watch Police Academy or not. It's basically, it's the last letter in the alphabet. And so at the moment, what's happening is that we believe going after the harvest and throwing everything into, doesn't mean we're going to become ageist, okay? I'm not about to retire and give it to one of my kids. That would be a disaster. All right. You guys seem okay with it. Wow, come on. Maybe we should pray about that. The point is, because of the youth, the point is at the moment the Lord is if we have to leave legacy. We have to. And, you know, it can't be like we've got an excellent youth group, young adults group emerging, where these kids are being, again, discipled in the realm of the things of the realm of the Spirit and the Word. And so this is why with Crusades is that we are going after a massive harvest. I believe this year we could see as many as 50,000 plus people come to Christ. So this is why. Now, I'm going to a quick story that you've heard, some of you heard before. If we can put up the image there. So that's Jeff Jansen on the left. That's me on the right. I'm going to explain some, I'll give you some background. Yeah, there's a few people. That dark patch is full of people. That's in one of the witchcraft centers of Lima, Peru. And when I last checked, they do witchcraft properly. They're not mucking around at psychic fairs and tie-dye outfits and they kill you. And so, 100%. So what happened, and this is all going to tie in. So what happened is that I'm in Bogota, Colombia at the time. I went across to serve. So these are not my crusades. I thought I'm going to be on the prayer team. I'm going to support it financially. When you set yourself up to serve, you might get set up. So that was my expectation. So I was in Colombia. And then I was with Tim Butler, and we were talking about Robert Henderson mentioning a guy called Rhys Howells. Who knows Rhys Howells? But does he know you? So anyway, is that Rhys Howells is an intercessor from Wales. He headed up the Bible College of Wales. And they, I believe they were a very significant part in praying the England through World War II. So I'm reading this book, The Intercessor. The person who wrote it, he needs prayer just for his name. I mean, if you thought Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite was bad, or Jabez, the guy who wrote it's called Norman Grubb. Anyway, so he writes, he's writing this. A biography, how they were praying, and what happened is that a week before he died, this is after World War II, and he's got a book where he's written, he actually sent this book, a prophetic book about how God's overcoming the demonic. He sends it to Adolf Hitler. All right, he wasn't, you know, and it was titled, "Who Do You Think You Are Kidding?" No, it was. Well, that dates me, sorry. Anyway, basically it's got God versus the dictators, and he sent, it was all played on German radio, translated into German, crazy. So anyway, what happened, right, is that these guys got into prayer, and I think on five occasions the King of England called the UK to a day of prayer because there's no way they were going to resist the German invasion. It wasn't going to happen. They needed the hand of God, starting at Dunkirk, all right? And so I'm reading this book, and a week before he dies, his face is glowing with the glory, and he's telling his Bible college, "The Lord's showing me I'm finished. I'm finished my assignment on the earth." A week later, he dies. Isn't that what, don't you want to say, Paul said, "I've finished"? Who wants to be able to say that, you know? So I'm not reading it, and I go into, the Spirit of God comes on me, I start crying. What a thing that your face is glowing before. I think they're having worship, time of worship, their morning session, the Bible college, and fancy the Lord saying, "You have fulfilled the scroll that I've set before you. You know, well done, good and faithful servant." I was just so moved by that. The Spirit of God came on me, and my cry developed into a travail, and the travail was, whoa. I mean, like, if you could imagine 20 lifetimes of emotion fit into one moment, you sound weird. You do. I mean, that was just the warm up. And I'm now travailing, and I'm aware that I'm before the throne of God. And I don't know what's went for 5 minutes, because for those who, you can't put travail on, it's like the emotion of heaven goes through you to birth something supernatural. So I literally, like, I just started, like, it was, I was out of my mind, out of my mind, and I'm just like, and then it just lifted off of me, and then I'm in my hotel room going, I'm wiping the tears away, I go, what was that about? Reading Rhys Howes, The Intercessor. Caught up before the throne. Anyway, this is one trip where I was incredibly jet-lagged. Jet lag can be an issue going to South America. So the next day, I fly into Peru. I am smoked. And then we're going to this this crusade that we'd put some money into. And I think it was the second night. And it's with through Global Evangelistic Missions through Jim and Kathy Drown. So I am so tired going to the crusade. I'm on the bus and I've got my sunglasses on, hopefully not snoring. And I'm lying like this. I've got my seat and recline. I'm exhausted. And then you hear this ch-ch-ch of the hydraulic sound of the bus slowing down. And I'm sort of like, okay, cool. I'm going to sit on stage and I'm going to pray for people, pray for the sick. Great. And then all of a sudden, we're sort of getting out and you can hear the boom, 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 boom. We're behind the stage, massive bass. You can hear the worship. And all of a sudden, as I come out and as I'm walking out, Jeff says to me, typical Jeff, you know, Todd, I think this is going to be your meeting tonight. As I'm walking on stage. So it's like, what did my prayer look like? It looked like walking on stage. Anyway, so by the grace of God, I got a download and probably preached, including interpreting 25, 30 minutes. And what happened was this, is that you don't take on this stuff lightly. There is the biggest crowd they'd ever had up to that point. There's over 10,000 people in one of the witchcraft strongholds in Lima. And so, and what we did, a straightforward altar call, people coming to Christ, we reckon 1,500, but it could have been as many as 2,000 people came forward to give their life to the Lord. Power of God's hitting people, they're manifesting devils as they're praying the sinner's prayer. And then miracles broke out, and that was the biggest crowd they'd ever seen up to that point. It was supernatural. As I'm getting on the bus, I can hear the coordinators say to each other, we got our dream. That's the biggest, we never have cracked. In 20 to 30 years, we've never cracked 10,000 ever. And that meeting was given to me. And I'm like going, what the heck? And I'm sort of like, you know, I don't believe my own headlines. I try and join more dots than that. And I'm on the way back, I'm going, Lord, what the heck? Praise you, Lord, firstly, amen. But I'm going, how did that happen? And the Lord said to me, he said, that meeting took place when you were in travail in Colombia in prayer in that hotel room. He said, something supernatural where God prayed through me. It wasn't in tongues necessarily. It was more like groans, travail. The Holy Spirit making intercession for the saints for the will of God. So put that picture up one more time. So we hope to have many more encounters like this. I think, God willing, Kenya goes ahead. We're talking probably 50,000 plus people. And so I want you to start to catch some of this stuff was taking place, because I do believe there's something about intercession. Now, what's very interesting is that, and we're going to talk about this today, is Rhys Howes and the Bible College of Wales really, really was set up, I believe, in the Holy Ghost to navigate the world through war. Can someone say amen to that? You're going, people groaning and travailing in hidden rooms around the world. What the heck? It's the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. Is it prayer changes things? Not one person is sitting here aside from someone prayed for your soul one day. Every single thing that happens on the earth happens because a synapse took place between heaven to earth and earth to heaven. Okay? And so we just got to take it for granted. Yeah. You know? And so there's a lot of rubbish starting to emerge. It's called universalism. Reject it. Because people God is love, but God is also holy. I want you to think, what is the emphasis on people coming into alignment with Jesus and getting into heaven, is this, is you honoring the sacrifice that he gave? Otherwise, why the Great Commission? And we got this, we actually start to bring truth down to an earthly level, and we dilute it and we distort it. We start twisting it where there's no urgency. Friends, there's an urgency to preach the gospel. There's an urgency for souls to come in. This is why we're orientated ourselves around the spirit of justice. But what's interesting is a group of us, isn't it interesting that the Bible College of Wales was established? I just had to do a quick fact check. I've already been told this. But the Bible College of Wales, of Rhys Howes and his intercessors, was established in 1924. And I found out this year, which is 100 years, let's say a quick shout out to all the mathematicians. And a quick prayer for those who couldn't work it out. And the sanctuary that you're sitting in right now was built in 1924. Mathematicians, come forth. And what's even more interesting is that a group of people, including myself, very soon will not only be going to the Hebrides, where there's outpouring, but also to Wales, to the Bible College of Wales, and also Moriah Chapel, where Evan Roberts and all those guys saw the Welsh revival. Who thinks that's interesting? And in a few weeks, I reckon we're going to be coming and laying hands on a couple of you guys. We're going to have an impartation service. We don't usually do that on a Sunday morning. Who's hungry for that? Don't be surprised if a spirit of travail gets a hold of you. Don't be surprised. So what is the backdrop of this? Is that, so here I am in New Zealand last week. I'm 10 minutes into my preach. And Norm MacLeod, is a good size, big church, hundreds of people. He's in the front row. And he gets up. He goes, can I have the microphone for a second? I'm going, what have I done wrong? There's been no one on poles. If you see the still, I'm going. Anyway, I'm like, uh-oh. He goes, no, it's all good, it's all good. He just said, listen, we got to pray because Iran have just sent missiles into Israel. And that's the backdrop. This is the, is it there? And then I think they've returned the favor, but not, I don't know to what degree. I don't know the details. But the point is this, there are very, very dark forces in the world functioning through government that want to destroy the harvest before the harvest manifests. This is actually seriously urgent. We have to be able to catch this. And we can do this without being caught up in doom, gloom, and fear. We have to partner with heaven, the rhythms of heaven, the strategies of heaven. We have to partner with it, but we have to get over ourselves. You and I were sent to the earth for this very reason and this very season. The fact that this is 100 years this year. It's a sanctuary. It's the same as a Bible College. Why is we got people going there? What are the chances that all that stuff was booked beforehand? We have to be able to put our hands up and say, you know, this is my own personal take. Is Australia adequately repentant and hungry for God to see the manifestation of the great Southland of the Holy Spirit? Is Australia? That's a rhetorical question. Or is it going to take crises? Is it going to take, you know, as they say, a man or woman are only faithful as their options. The options get shut down, so we see a mighty harvest. Now, I'm not wishing that. My desire is to see repentance. Is it turn from our own ways, our own wicked ways? There's no such thing as, there's not three options. There's God's ways or our wicked ways. We don't have anything else outside of wicked ways. Even if you are, you know, middle class, member of Rotary, Kiwanis, Lion Club, you buy a year's supply of Girl Guide biscuits and you walk elderly people across the road. There's no one good but God. We got to understand that. We get lost in culture and we lose our spiritual sight. So this season right now, the Lord is saying, will my church arise so I can use her for the purposes to change history? Can someone say amen? So we're going to start with the extremely delicate scripture found in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. I chose it because of our data projector operator today. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, behold, a man. Many people believe it's a Christophany. What's really interesting is that Matthew's choosing songs today with the emphasis on the name. So in Jewish culture, Hashem is the name. You know, God said, I'm going to send my angel with you. I've put my name in him. We don't understand the power of the name. This is why God has given Jesus or Yeshua, right? The name that is above every name. It's very, very powerful. But what happens, you know, it's really cool. Sorry, keep it up there. My self-indulgent segues, but you might get something out of it. In regards to one of the things with Jewish culture, they struggle with the Trinity. We're a monotheistic religion. We only believe in one God. True. But what happens when God manifested on the earth to Joshua and to Abram and others, was that God? Yes. But he was still in heaven, or did he leave heaven? No, he would have been in heaven. Now you've already got two. You hear what I'm saying? God can manifest how he wants, when he wants. And here we've got this mystery, because he accepted worship in a sense, unlike the angel in Revelation, that he lifted up his eyes and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? He didn't really know the right question, but he did his best. So the Lord said, or so he said, no. Can you imagine how this, Lord, option A or option B? No. All right. Okay, Lord, I just asked for a spirit of wisdom. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off of your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So we've got this situation where very clearly they start. Now, I understand in Romans 8, Paul said, is God for us, who can be against us? And I understand that. But there's too much of an emphasis on that. You go, well, Paul said it. No, because what happens is that we are continually pulling God down to our carnal level. I'm just going to do what I want. And God is for me. It's like, no, we have to first work out, are we for the Lord? Are we for him? And it's not that straightforward, but it is, but it's not. And so that was the first question. And so with things like world conflict, you've got the US government, the most gaslighting, passive-aggressive entity I can remember. Okay, is they go, no, Israel, take it easy. And then they're doing this show of force with their stealth bombers and massive bombs on them. It's passive-aggressive, gaslighting, Leviathan twisting. This is what we have in the nations right now. Evidently he was a good guy, Neville Chamberlain, and he goes with that off it, and he brings back a piece of paper, peace in our lifetime, next minute. And so you have this situation where we need the counsel of God, because this stuff could escalate very quickly and very hectically. And we actually have to, I don't want us to be reactionary, I want us to be prophetic. I want us to know what it is to posture in the Spirit, to make sure that Spirit doesn't manifest and harvest a generation of young people. Can someone say amen? Got a bit of a spirit of a library here this morning. Or you can break that if you want to. So with all this stuff, the easiest thing is to become paralyzed. Because what we do is we conflate. Conflate is taking a few different elements and putting them into one. Really, that's not what God is doing. Now, we won't put the scripture up. I'm going to give you now an example of conflating. When God communicates generally, sometimes it's a rhetorical question, right? You know, like, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, you know. But what you have is we have the Lord, basically, he's saying to us, Numbers 13 basically says this. God said to Moses to tell the people, go into the promised land. I want you to see if it's a good land or not. I want you to see if they are in strongholds or camps, if they're strong or weak, in the mountains or on the plains. And I want you to see if it's forested or clear. But I want you to see if it's a good land. That was what God said in a very precise communication. However, when they came back, they said, look, it is a good land. And they brought back the grapes, etc. But they said the land swallows up its inhabitants and there are giants there. And they said this, we're not able to take it. And God never said, can you take it? God said, do a stock take, that's all. And what happens is that instead, Israel did the leap of, not the leap of logic per se, but they didn't say, Lord, it's this, 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 and this. And we're a little, but they literally, the of the 12 spies, 10 of them said, we're not able to take it. And what happens is God says, I'm going to give you a job to do. This is what I want you to do now. And what we don't do, we don't obey him. What we do do, what we do is we try and work out God's part. God said, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I want you to go in to see if it's a good land and I want you to tell me about the inhabitants and the fortifications and the topography and the forestry situation. And they said, we're not, they came back and said, we're not able to take it. And that's what happens with us. The Lord said, if you do this, I'll do this. We don't do our part and then we surmise and speculate the whole big picture in unbelief, fear and insecurity. Whereas God says, hey, I've given you one job at this stage and once you've done it, you'll understand the next stage. And we think understanding, if we understand it, we'll obey. But whereas God says, if you obey it, then you'll understand. There's a really, really big difference. So we're in a situation where there's a lot going on. And so I believe what we have here is Joshua responded appropriately. He worshipped the Lord and took off his sandals and he said, because the Lord was there and it was holy grounds. And I do believe that's the thing we've got to do in this season. But we've got to understand God's ways. So here is God's ways. And what this scripture, people will find very offensive. And I'll tell you why. This scripture here completely is a bunker buster on some of the Trojan horse statements of inclusion. Because sometimes what happens is that we throw discernment, the right to discern and properly weigh things. We throw the baby out with the bathwater because really we want to look good to people. Okay? So this scripture here will be a bunker buster for that and is a call to come into greater intimacy with the Lord. It describes God's precedent of calling a corporate people and how he did it in the realm of the spirit and how he frames it up from his perspective. It's in Exodus. We put it up, please. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. So you got in the natural, the plagues, Goshen, protected, Passover lamb, protected. Now they're physically walking to the edge of the Red Sea and then they physically walk through the Red Sea. But in the spirit, God's saying, I bore you on eagle's wings. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I guarantee every single person has come to Christ. The Lord brought them to him. But you just sort of, I just went down the front and said a prayer. In the spirit, you were born on eagle's wings. So don't, it's too easy to overlook these things. Is it, unless the Lord draws, you know? And so that's what he did. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. That's not very inclusive. We've got to be okay with it. I've been looking into so much stuff lately. We have to understand the context of the Bible. Who wrote it? What was in their brain and their spirit? And who do they write it to? What was in their brain and their spirit? And the only reality that transcends eons and generations is this supernatural worldview. So it worked back then, it works now. And we've got to repent of being so earthbound and so tied into so many crutches that remove the supernatural power of God within the body of Christ. Okay? Therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you should be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So you have here, the synonyms are sanctified and holy. It actually means set apart. God, when he chooses a people or an individual, the first thing is he wants to set you apart. Now, right now, we have this specter of brinksmanship, gunboat diplomacy, all these things happening. If you want to know how it works out, study history. It's not hard. It's patterns. It's cycles. Okay? And so rather than just sit back and read the paper, is that we're called to stand in the gap to make sure darkness isn't spewed on the earth, that we see the kingdom of heaven manifest on the earth. Can someone say amen? Amen. So our role is to consecrate, to be consecrated. The God turns up to Joshua with the sword drawn, and the call was to believe and consecrate. That is to set yourself apart. You got two things. When God shows up on the earth, you got things that are consecrated or holy or sanctified. Those are separate from common things. And they go, whoa, that's, whoa. You know what? Is that we have to repent of being caught up in the spirit of the age. We cannot help anybody unless we're in Christ. We get so seeker-friendly that there's no difference. What's the difference of me just coming forward and receiving Christ or giving my life to the Lord? Nothing changes. And that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. So in this season, God's saying, I want my people to set themselves apart and consecrate themselves and to remove themselves from everything that is common and unclean. You're like, whoa, I don't know, it's the word of the Lord. I'm just the postie. So we have in this season all this stuff taking place. I'll tell you why. It's because God's saying to his people, I want to use you powerfully. I want to change history, but you've got to set yourself apart so I can use you supernaturally. Can someone say amen? Amen. Some of you guys, it's like you've never heard this language. Trust me, I can add a lot more language than I'm saying now. And so we have like the first thing, honestly, I love my wife and my kids. I do. They know that. But nowhere near as much as I love the Lord. And that's called set apart. If we don't have that, you've got to understand, you love the Lord, you love all your heart, soul, and strength. Well, it says we now are called to receive the love of Christ, and as I have loved you, love one another. If we're not set apart like that, we are not functioning in the realm of power and authority. And we, again, some of the things I'm saying are spiritually discerning. Oh, this is getting a little bit fundamentalist. Do you know what? Amen. Because, no, we recognize we're in history. We need the power, the delivering power of God. Can't just be sort of like, I don't want to offend anybody. If I offend a lot of people, but I'm saying the truth and it's going to actually galvanize the remnant, I don't care. Because we actually have to be set apart. And when we're set apart, then we are useful and can reach the world. It's not being set apart to reject the world. It's actually so God can cause you to be salt and light and the city on a hill. It's not so, you know, a sense of forsaking the mandate whatsoever. So this is all through Scripture. We actually have to see ourselves as set apart. God calls us to be set apart. He speaks to us like we're set apart, but we have to come into agreement mentally, emotionally, and in physically. So this is how Paul saw himself in Romans as he's addressing one of the most profound dissertations in history. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I think that's it, yep. So the Lord separates you not just from, but to. That's how you have to see yourself. I tell you what right now, part of this isn't exclusivity, it's connected to purity. Heaven is moved by purity. And you start to see that you actually, you know, there's so many ways we could cut this. Did you know that you are not your own? You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your body belongs to him. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So heaven is saying this, I've already set you apart. Will you consecrate yourself? So God can use you supernaturally as an intercessor, as a witness, as a miracle worker, as a financial advisor, as a finance generator, as a strategist, as a governor, because that's when we start to see heaven manifest on the earth, as opposed to trying to please everybody. If you try and please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody. And so in this season, you go, oh, this is happening in the bombs, and like this. Lord goes, ah. He says, eyes on me, consecrate yourself. because I want to use you to change history. So I said I'd be gentle today. Now, let's do this. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. How? I'm glad you asked. That you put off, it's a decision, concerning your former conduct, the old nature, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you've got to put off the old nature. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The other scriptures say, put on Christ. Be clothed with Christ. Sometimes, don't wait for your emotions to work at the beginning of the day. I've tried. I know what it's like to... Look, I must admit, I don't know. Can I touch the glory without caffeine? Caffeine really works, doesn't it? I mean, on a day off, I won't have caffeine like this. It'll be 2 in the afternoon going, bit of a failure, aren't you? And look, you didn't have your coffee. Repent and do the former things. And like, oh! Remove the candlestick. All right. I'm going to remove that in an espresso machine. And so... I know what it's like. You look at someone, I know what it's like to not want God. I know that feeling. Some of you guys are going, you too? All of us. Now, I'll give you an object lesson. Me in Indonesia, just found out ministry in the side of a live, active volcano. And when it did explode, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 5 or 10, just a lazy 5,000 people were taken out, right? And I'm like, cool. And it's connected to the water spirit, the Queen of the South. Yeah. So I'm in my hotel room praying, and I'm like, the more I prayed, the less I wanted God. This is boring. And you know what happens? You're engaging heaven by faith, and then as you go deeper into it, you realize, I don't really want this. And as you guys are all looking at me like you're a room full of angels, like you've never had this in your life. Good for you, good for you. And so I'm like this. Now, as I'm not wanting God, I'm now feeling condemned. I'm going, how can I can't even witness to a flipping squirrel on the beach of Bali, let alone run a youth event. And I'm feeling condemned. And then the Lord just sort of like interjected. He said, Todd, listen, there's a part of you that will never want me. And it's okay. It's called the old nature. The old nature is co-crucified. You can't counsel it. You can't comfort it. We try and get our spirituality and pull it into the old nature, and it becomes soulish manipulation. And it loves partnering with a religious spirit. Is the way it is. Zah. And so Lord says, be okay with that, because that best part, you don't try and connect with me through the fallen nature. Oh, because it says here, put it off. Put off the old nature and put on Christ. Put on the... So I'm like, oh, okay. I said, Lord, I just repent and I thank you that my old nature, according to Romans 6 and everywhere else, Galatians 2:20, that it's already co-crucified. I won't try and reach out to you through that selfish, appetite-driven nature. That nature is a coward. It's an opportunist. It's lazy. It's fearful. And the Lord knows that. Because he's right in. Lord, you know my heart.
I do.
And, and so I put on the new nature, the new man, put on Christ. So I said, oh, Lord, I repent, because I was actually going through the wrong door. Lord, I just thank you. By faith, I'm in the spirit now. I thank like this. Bang, the Lord manifests in the hotel room. So you've got to put off the old nature. Don't wait for the emotions to come round on that roundabout. Wow, I feel good. No, I don't. You know, coming up. So when we actually consecrate ourselves, it is based on a decision that you continually do until your inner world catches up. It's that you don't have to reinvent it, but you got to know, is it God's not condemning you? He knows there's part of you doesn't want anything to do with him. That's the part that wants to be Lord. It's sort of like, fun, responsibility, get out. And so he gave me a refresher. Oh, here's another story. Some of you guys have heard this. I've got my Bible. It's a Monday. Where we used to live in our last house. Sitting there going, I'm going to have a spiritual day. I'm going to fast. Come on. Bible's there. Facebook's here. Black dog, white dog. All right. And it's sort of like, I should really... Just a minute. And then you create all these imaginary deadlines. In 20 minutes. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to read that. Ooh. Ooh. An hour goes by. In 30 minutes. I'm going to stop reading this rubbish about Prince Harry. And I'm going to read this. He did what? She said what? They did what? In 10 minutes. And meanwhile, this is a computer. Look this. This went on, right? And then you just spiritualize it. Maybe just this is a Christian post, you know, like this. And the words there go. It was like 1 PM. I had to pick up my kids from school at 3. And I sort of like, and it was like 2:00. And I spent 20 minutes with the Lord. That was my day. I feel so condemned. What a failure. Like, here I am leading a church. I want nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the presence of God. Well, I do. I want to feel good, but I don't want to pay the price. And so I want to reap, but I don't want to sow. And like, I feel terrible. And it's like, it's now 2:00 and praise a lot of this. And like, the goodness of God manifests. And I'm like, oh, I did this at 9:30. Right? And then the next day, I go, what a fail. The next day I wake up, Jesus is standing in my room. And I'm like, what are you doing here? He's there. Like, you had the worst day. It's like, I'm just telling him, like, he doesn't know. I had the worst day. And he goes, Todd, I do not live in your emotions. How huge is that? We can have good days, bad days. And we think, this is the Lord. No, it's not. It's deception. The frequency of the glory, the frequency, God is spirit, God is light, God is love, is so transcendent to our fickle ways, the old nature. And we somehow try and bring an infinite glorious kingdom through our narrow bandwidth of selfishness and fallen nature. And the Lord, and then I was just like, I would ask a question in my spirit. He'd ask, look, this is for half the day. This is amazing. And it was an object lesson. It's just before I went to Argentina with Ana Mendez years ago. He started speaking to me about frequency and resonance. And I'm just like, I realize I can have a rubbish day and God's still loving me. I can have a rubbish day and those feelings, we try to start to anthropomorphize. We start to go, this is how God feels about me. We're so deceived. This is why we need to live in the words that rightly divide between soul and spirit and to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's okay. He knows. It's not like you can hide anything from him. He knows what you think before you think it. So in this whole consecration reality, you're going to have your moments, but know that God is greater and his love is so powerful. But we actually, in this season, we actually have to put ourselves in a place where we can receive God's grace. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, dishonor, he will be a vessel. If you cleanse yourself from dishonor, you'll be used for honor. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so our job, how are we going to change history? When you consecrate yourself, you're setting yourself apart from everything that defiles, brings you down, distracts and discourages. You separate yourself and you come before the Lord, and then you're in a place where he can give you grace and speak to you and use you. Because when we cultivate that, we're set apart, it's actually for the benefit of others. Case in point, the planes get it going down. That's a great analogy considering I'm about to be on one. Planes going down and they say, when the oxygen mask comes down, put it on your face first and not on any loved one near you because you could pass out. is that the greatest thing you could do is completely give your life to the Lord so you can be a use to others in Jesus' name. And in this season, it's easy to go, look at this. No, first, I believe we're in a season of consecration. Because I'll tell you what right now, I want to make a distinction here. It actually says, we're not going to put this one up. It actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31, but of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So what you got is this. Our job is to consecrate ourselves. It is the Lord that sanctifies. He's the one that does the change. And so we go, oh, I can't, so hard to change. No, stop trying to change. Consecrate. And remove yourself from that's defiling your mind. All right? If God's telling you to give something up, the first thing that will happen is for a few days or longer, you'll be about thinking about the thing you're giving up. Nothing's getting achieved. Because you're thinking about the thing you used to do, but you're not stepping into what you can manifest in the glory. And so don't try and change yourself. Is it in this season, there is the specter of international conflict. I'll tell you what, if I preach this church empty, I will. Because I'm not coming into agreement with that sleepy religious rubbish that causes a whole generation to be swept off a cliff into eternity. We have to make sure that we are making the difference. So I'll tell you what, there's too much. Slumber is a precursor to death. We got one shot at this while we're on the earth. One shot. Can someone shout amen? Amen. And so especially if it's not for you, it's for your kids or your grandkids or your friends, your nephews and nieces. This is serious. And what happens then? And then we get infused with the spirit of might and the inner man. You start to realize, see, I'm pretty motivated. You know, I've got a level of motivation to please myself, a level. But I tell you what, I'm not motivated enough to please myself into my destiny. I'm not. But when you start connecting something far greater, you start to catch God's vision. And with God's vision, his priorities is energy. Because some of you guys, you don't love yourself. And so you doing it for you is not enough. If you don't love yourself, you go, you know, just serve the Lord. It's like, no. Because people don't love themselves. But even if you did, it's still not enough. It's catching the heart of your creator, your father, your savior, your paraclete, your best friend. And so we can actually come into this destiny. You've got this crazy stuff happening, 1924, here in the Bible College of Wales. That stuff is lit. It's crazy. It's connected to Moonta. It's connected to Australia, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. This stuff is confronting in a good way. But in this season, God's saying, my people, will you set yourself apart from those things that will defile you, cause you doubt and worry and fear? And will you set yourself apart for me so I can move in and through you powerfully? That's what the word of the Lord is. And so what we have, we've talked about how God takes anyone he takes, he sets them apart, whether it's Israel or the church. Corporately or individually, this is God's way. He's coming from a realm of glory. He condescended through Christ. He condescended by sending his spirit on the day of Pentecost. And what happens? He said, I need the world to change through the manifestation of my glory. So set yourself apart from what's earthbound and common. Connect with me and my heavenly glory will manifest first in you and through you and around you. This is his ways. This is his ways, okay? And I'll tell you what right now is that we're in an extraordinary season. In a very, very weird way, and you guys know me, I'm extremely excited. I've got zero fear. Zero fear. I'm extremely excited, but I'll tell you what right now is the Lord's saying to his church, Australia, will you consecrate yourself in this season? It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to set yourself apart from what the Lord's telling you to do. You can't change yourself. Don't try and do that. Just set yourself. One job. Set yourself apart. I don't care if it takes weeks and months. He can then speak to you. He can change your family so quickly. Change your kids so quickly. There's so many. I actually have zero faith in any of the governments I see around the world right now. Are you with me? No. It's horrific. These guys are just order takers. Who's informing them? What are they telling them? I'll leave it there. I'm going to dishonor. Oh, Jesus, help me. All right, so. So, see, good boy. So the Lord, he said, I took you out of Egypt, which is the world, and I bore you, brought you to myself on eagle's wings, so you would be set apart above the earth, so then I could use you to see souls saved, miracles, healing, restoration, turn goat nations into sheep nations. But you've got to do it from this place. If the axe is dull, you have to strike more blows. But when you consecrate yourself and allow the Lord to sharpen you in his glory and his presence, I'll tell you what, right now, you'll see people healed just by speaking. You'll think things change. You walk in a shopping center, demons manifest, and you've got an opportunity to witness. So you go, if God bore us to himself in eagle's wings, remember, most things are birthed around conflict. What's happening in the moment? Conflict. Guess what? God wants to birth the greatest hour in history through conflict. If we consecrate ourselves, so you go, how can I reproduce God calling me unto himself? I'm glad you asked. Let's do Isaiah. This is how we do it in this season, consecration. He gives power to the weak. Can someone say amen? Amen. Okay. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Young men. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What happens when you wait on the Lord? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. So that's how he brings you to himself. You, please don't have a cartoonish stick figure, black and white binary view of the realm of the spirit. You can be completely restored in every way, shape or form in your life by just spending 1 second in the presence of God. 1 second. When you wait on him, to wait on him means to be still, but in the Hebrew it means to bind together. You actually, what happens, waiting on God, you're worshiping, you get in his presence, you go, Lord, I just thank you, you're awesome, nothing's too difficult for you. Ah, Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power, come on. And then you wait on him like this, in his presence, and then you actually start to bind to him, you and him, and then it's like you and God. It's not you, it's oneness. But experientially, when you wait on the Lord, you bind together till you are born on eagle's wings into his presence. And in this season, that's what consecration looks like. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Hallelujah. And so this is what we have in this season. There's a lot going on. God can change everything through the prayer of a child. You know, children, generally, they're innocent. Purity moves heaven. And when we consecrate ourselves, he does the sanctifying. He's the wisdom. He's the redemption. And so let him who glories glory in the Lord. Can we put on the pads, please? And can we please get communion out, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I like this one. We've said from week one, it's a threshold year. We've said it's governance. We've said from week one in the spirit, there's a level of concern that there's going to be a push for war. Did we not say this from week one? Next minute. There doesn't have to be any worry or concern. We start to conflate. Like the Lord goes, no, consecrate. That's how you connect to your power. Okay? The Lord says, be holy for I'm holy. Consecrate. Set yourself apart, especially from what defiles and what pulls that power out of you and brings you to a low level. Can someone say amen? I'll tell you what, right now, if one can slay 1,000, two can slay 10,000 under that old dispensation. But we just need to see Australia in the most, we need to seek the saints in Australia in the most biblical vernacular. We need to see the spirit of fair dinkum. Spirit of fair dinkum. We forgot what that means. We've been so infested culturally. Oh my gosh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We've seen Jezebel manifest through every gate, through the media. Jezebel and men just going, okay. We need David's mighty man. Can someone say amen? Can at least the women say amen? I didn't hear him. It's true. Jezebel. Too many Ahabs. We need to see the spirit of Elijah manifest. And you know what's interesting? I love Mount Carmel, the confrontation. Call upon your God. Who knows? Maybe he's on the toilet. That was the boldness. But you know what really it's about? Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest the earth is struck with a curse, is that we have to break the curse of generational forgetting and forsaking. Even if it's for another, I'll tell you what right now, this is what God's on. If we posture ourselves in the spirit, you watch the blessing flow over your life. I'm not about to start, you know, try and rap songs and backwards baseball cap. That is hectically mutton dressed as lamb. I'm not about to do that rubbish. But I'll tell you what I can do is I actually can get before the Lord and say, Lord, first I set myself apart. Now use me in prayer. What does that look like? We need to see God invade the schools, the kindergartens, the schools, the high schools, the universities. We need to see a move of God in the faculties in the university. We need to see the fear of the Lord. When we consecrate ourselves, all those veils are removed from us, our hearts, and we realize we're actually before the throne of God. Everything we do is before the throne. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the one thing that Jesus delighted in while he was on the earth more than all the others, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to pray, we'll take communion, but whether you do it now or later or today, is see this. The first step to seeing the power of God invade your life is to making a choice to consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart from everything that defiles and distracts. Can I get an amen? And then you start going, wow, I feel boldness. I feel spirit of faith. This is, tell you what. And then it becomes him doing it through you. And it's okay to know there's a part of you that doesn't want anything to do with God. You've got to consider it crucified. According to Galatians chapter 2, verses 20, you're already crucified. Stop trying to believe through a pathway that the Lord just shut down. Lord, I just thank you. This is the day that you've made. I just thank you right now. You've sent us for this reason and in this season to see us change history in the realm of the Spirit. We thank you for moving mightily. And right now, I just want you to agree in prayer with me. We thank you for Generation Z. We thank you for the young people. We thank you for the youth right now. We thank you. We set ourselves apart, Lord, to see you move powerfully in that generation. We thank you for an outpouring, a mighty harvest in Adelaide, in Scotland, in London, in Mexico City, in Kenya, in Argentina. We thank you for an outpouring because your people have set themselves apart to be used powerfully through Exousia, through Dunamis, through Kratos, through the anointing that breaks the yoke. We thank you right now, Father. But firstly, we come to you and we set ourselves apart to see you move powerfully in this generation. Bless this communion to our body. We say yes and amen to your call on eagle's wings. Much chaos happening around the world, and the Lord said, come to me, I'll restore your soul, I'll get you established green pastures and still waters. Some of that stuff on social media with churches is mad. It is mad, and it's just chaos. Hallelujah. So we have one more week of school holidays, so no Tuesday night, but the following Tuesday night we have Adrian. We're going to have a beerly good time. 2 weeks in a row. Can someone say amen to that? Adrian, Leslie, they're going to come. Last time, So make sure you've done all your research about the Illuminati. Okay, and so it's going to be really, really good. So that's coming up. So this week, no Tuesday night meeting. Don't forget we have this afternoon here. Is it just me or is it getting warm? It's warm. Okay, we might put fans on for healing rooms. God bless you guys. See you this afternoon. And intercessors, pray.